Parashat Noach. After the destruction of the world with the great flood and the miraculous saving of Noach and his family, the Jewish people had not yet been founded. That happened only later with the Avot, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That was the time of the birth of the Jewish nation. Noach was not obligated to keep the Torah as we know it today, but we all know that there were the seven mitzvahs of the Bnei Noach. Sheva mitzvot Bnei Noach, seven mitzvahs that the sons of Noach, the generations, the non-Jews to this day, have to keep. They tell the non-Jew how he is expected to behave towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he's supposed to serve Hashem. But I want to talk to you today about a different type of relationship, about the relationship between us, the Jews, and our non-Jewish neighbors. As our sages tell us, we, the Jews, are supposed to be an Or LeGoyim, a light to the nations. An example of ethical behavior, of integrity, that they should see from our behavior that everything we do is morally and ethically correct. A Jew amongst the nations, a Jew amongst the non-Jews, must be a walking Kiddush Hashem, a living example of morality, of upright behavior, so that everyone that's going to see him is going to be saying, the God of these people must be great. That, says Chazal, is an integral part of the purpose of the Jew in this world. But there's a lot of confusion about how a Jew and a non-Jew should relate to each other in their business dealings. There's a lot of misunderstandings about what is expected of a Jew and a non-Jew when they're doing business together. And I'd like to speak about this controversial subject and put a little bit of light on it. The Shulchan Aruch, it's in Siman Shin Mem Chet Sif Aleph in Choshen Mishpat, that it's also to steal, full stop, whether from a Jew or from a non-Jew, from a grown-up or from a child. There's no question about it. It's also for a Jew to steal. The Shach concludes from here, from this part of the Shulchan Aruch, that we see that it's an Issa D'Oraisa. It's an Issa D'Oraita. It's an Issa from the Torah. Just like to steal from a Jew, it's also forbidden to steal from a non-Jew. It makes no difference whether the person you're stealing from is Jewish or not Jewish. You're not allowed to steal, full stop. That's the opinion of the Rambam, of the Tor, my great Guskim, Rishonim and Poskim that we rely for everything we do on their Pesachim. They're all paskening, they're all telling us very, very clearly that a Jew is not allowed to steal in any way from a non-Jew. The Shach has a kasha. The Shach has a question. There's a contradiction, says the Shach. It says, in Evin HaEzer, the halachas of Kiddushin, that if someone stole from a non-Jew and then used what they'd stolen for to be Mekadesh and Isha, that the woman is Mekudeshet, that the woman is considered as if she's married to this guy. How can that be? The ring doesn't belong to the husband. He stole the ring. You can't marry someone with a stolen ring. If you're going to marry someone, it has to be something that belongs to you. Therefore it would seem, and that's the steerer, that's the contradiction that the Shach is asking, that it would seem from over there in Evin HaEzer, that where you steal from a non-Jew, there is some less of a problem than in a case where you were to steal for a Jew, because it seems to be that what you stole comes to be yours, that you can now marry a woman with it. But the Poskim explained, to answer this question of the Shach, the Netivot explains that it's also to steal from a Jew or from a non-Jew. But there's an extra mitzvah involved where you steal from a Jew, that you have a special mitzvah of returning the property that you stole to him. That doesn't mean that if there wasn't a mitzvah, you wouldn't have to return what you stole. It's clear to everyone, if you want to do tshuva for an aveira that someone has done, that you've done, you have to correct what you've done. The way to correct what you've done if you stole from someone is to return what you stole. The question is there a mitzvah involved in returning what you stole? With a Jew, there's a mitzvah of returning what you stole. It's a special mitzvah that you get. Hashem, we find in many places in the Torah that Hashem wanted to give extra mitzvahs to Jews. He wanted to look out even for this guy that was a thief. When he's making tshuva, you're going to have a mitzvah for returning what you stole to that Jew that you stole from. If you stole from a non-Jew, then there isn't a special mitzvah of returning what you stole from him. But that doesn't mean that you'd have an obligation to return what you stole. If anyone stole from someone else, if you stole from a non-Jew, as we can see clearly, that there's an Issa D'oraita involved in that. You did an Issa D'oraita now, and you want to fix up what you did, the only way to fix it up is to return it. Right? In all the halachas of tshuva that we see, in Choshen Mishpat, in the halachas of Hilchot Eidut, where a witness has been cancelled, has been possible for being a witness for aveiras that he's done, if he wants to fix it up, he has to go to the other extreme. And certainly, you would have to return what he stole. Right? It says that someone who was a gambler, who was a professional gambler, and was possible for being a witness because of that, right, because of being that untrustworthy person, that the tshuva for him is to throw away his dice, to destroy them completely, that he's never going to have anything more to do with gambling in any way. He doesn't even want to have the dice in his house. And that seems to be part of the complete tshuva that someone has to do. If anyone wants to do tshuva, they have to completely disconnect themselves from the aveira that they did. So it's clear without any shadow of doubt that even though there's not a mitzvah to return what you stole from a non-Jew, but that's the only way to do tshuva for what you did, is if you're going to return what you stole. So the argument here is that the argument here between is an argument about whether there's a mitzvah to return it or not. Seeing as there's no mitzvah to return what you stole, so that's why in the laws of Kiddushin we have to be worried that when you stole, you did a terrible aveira by stealing from a non-Jew. But it could be that seeing as there's no mitzvah to return it, goy is given, if the non-Jew has given up hope of getting back this property, that it would be that we have to consider, we have to be choshish, as we very often are in cases of kiddushin, in which is there such chamor mitzvot, in all the mitzvahs that are connected with marriage and divorce, we're very, very strict. We follow all the chumras in those cases because they're very, 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 very strict halachas, and they have tremendous ramifications. God forbid, questions of mamzerut and agunot, questions that can cause suffering for generations. And so therefore, in all those questions, we're always careful. And that would be the reason why in Evin Ezer, we paskin that if you stole from a non-Jew and then used what you stole to be Mekadosh a woman with it, that we do have to take account of that Kiddushin. And we can't ignore it and say that no, it didn't belong to us. There's another problem that could be involved in returning something to a non-Jew, and that if the non-Jew is involved in idol worship. So we wouldn't want to return something to him, which he's then going to use to desecrate the name of Hashem with that. After the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch that I've just mentioned to you, which says very clearly that there's no difference stealing from a Jew or from a non-Jew, the Ramo brings another opinion that argues with the Shulchan Aruch and seems to him and says that in a case where a non-Jew made a mistake by himself, he was supposed to return you a loan of $1,000, and he made a mistake in counting out the money, and by mistake he counted out to you an extra $100 bill. In a case like that, says the Ramo, there are opinions that the Jew is allowed to keep the extra money. You wouldn't be allowed to trick him, according to this opinion. That certainly you wouldn't be allowed to do. There's no way you'd be allowed to trick him. That would be part of the issa that we have of what's called genevat dat. That's cheating people. You're not allowed to a Jew is not allowed to cheat anyone, whether here or two, whether that's a Jew or non-Jew. You're not allowed to cheat anyone. And there are very strict halachas about how you're supposed to present yourself and present your goods, present your products in advertising. You're not allowed to sell, to tell stories that are not true about your products. A person has to be very careful. There's an issur of what's called genevat dat. That's cheating people. So certainly you wouldn't be able to cheat the non-Jew when you have made, and to like quickly count the money and say that it's like a thousand, it's a thousand, really it's 1,100. But there are more here talking about where it happened the other way around. The non-Jew by himself made a mistake and he counted out to you 1,100 instead of 1,000. That you wouldn't have an obligation, as long as it's not going to, that he's going to find out. And therefore there would be a question of a chilul Hashem, of a desecration of Hashem's name, which is one of the most serious isurim that there is. One of the serious things that a Jew can do is to be mechalel the name of Hashem, to do a chilul Hashem, to do something which is going to cause a desecration of the name of Hashem. Right, when a non-Jew sees a Jew not behaving correctly, that's a chilul Hashem, and that's something that can cause, that's a tremendous, tremendous event, and we have to keep away from that as much as possible. If in this case, where the non-Jew counted out the money, there's a chance that he's going to realize what he's done, and he's going to realize that you didn't tell him the mistake, there's a chance of a chilul Hashem, then definitely you have to tell him, even according to this opinion. This opinion is talking about a case where there's no way, there's no chance that the non-Jew is going to ever know that he by mistakenly paid you an extra $100 bill. The Shach adds that even according to this opinion, that where the non-Jew makes a mistake by himself, you don't have an obligation to correct him. The Shach adds that here too, it's only in the case of, for example, a loan. Right, where the non-Jew owes you a loan, or you owe him a loan, and the mistake is made, which is never going to be discovered. But if, for example, you bought something from a non-Jew, and while paying him a mistake was made, and now it's going to be that a mistake was made in your favor, and the non-Jew is never going to discover it, so according to this opinion, you wouldn't have an obligation to tell him about it. You wouldn't have an obligation to tell him about it. In such a case where you bought something, this opinion does not say that you'd be allowed not to tell him. Why? Because in a case where you bought something, if we allow you not to tell him, that means you're going to have property in your possession which you haven't paid for. It means you're going to have stolen property in your possession. And that cannot be. A Jewish home, a Jew cannot have stolen property in his possession. So even according to this opinion that in the case where the non-Jew makes a mistake by himself, that you don't have an obligation to tell him about the mistake, as long as he's not going to find it out ever, that's not that it doesn't apply in the case of a purchase. Because in the case of a purchase, it would come out that you're going to now have in your possession property that you haven't paid for, and that's not right, and that can't be, and that we don't want. That's not the way that a Jew lives. But I have to tell you, there's a very, very important perush in the Shulchan Aruch called the Be'er HaGolah. People who are used to learning the Shulchan Aruch know that the Be'er HaGolah is a small commentator written around the sides of the Shulchan Aruch, and he generally gives us sources for every halacha that's in the Shulchan Aruch. He'll tell us the sources, where does it come from, where is the Gemara that is the basis for this halacha. And here, on this halakha that the Ramah says, that the Ramah mentions about allowing you to not tell the non-Jew in the case where he made a mistake, writes the Be'er HaGola, Pitom he suddenly decided to write us a shiur klali. A whole big shiur, he writes, on the side, which is something that is not normally done by him, normally just gives you short short comments and the sources, where did everything come from. But here, he suddenly sees that there's a very, very important point, something that was burning his soul that he has to tell us. And the Be'er HaGola says like this, and he writes like this. Vani kotev zot ledorot. I'm writing this, says the Be'er HaGola, for all generations, that everyone should know this. I have seen many, many people, writes the Be'er HaGola, who have become rich from mistakes that non-Jews made. And all those people lost all their money and left nothing after them for their heirs. They died as paupers. On the other hand, says the Be'er HaGola, I've seen many people who did a Kiddush Hashem and returned large sums of money to non-Jews in cases where no one would ever know. They did a Kiddush Hashem. They did a tremendous, tremendous Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of the name of Hashem. They made the name of Hashem great in the eyes of the non-Jews, that the non-Jew will say, who is the God of these people? Who is the God of these people that is so righteous? That these people are so righteous. Their God must be something very, very great. People did a Kiddush Hashem. Those people that did the Kiddush Hashem, those people, even though they weren't obligated to do it, they returned the money to the non-Jew. They did a Kiddush Hashem, according to this opinion that they don't have an obligation to return it. And those people became rich. Those people became very, very wealthy and prosperous people. And they left a fortune for their children. They left a fortune afterwards, after them, for their children and for their heirs. You can see that this subject was burning in the heart of the Be'er HaGola. Something that he had to tell us. Something he was bursting to tell the generations. What he has seen in his time. He's seen it, I've seen it, says the Be'er HaGola. It doesn't work. It doesn't pay. There may be such an opinion that in a case where the non-Jew made a mistake that you don't have an obligation to return it to him. Maybe you don't have an obligation. But if you do, you're going to do a Kiddush Hashem. You do a Kiddush Hashem, you're going to benefit tremendously from that Kiddush Hashem. Anyone who is Zoche to do a Kiddush Hashem, oh, it's one of the greatest things that can be done. Halachically, we must add on that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't make any difference between in a case where a mistake was made by the non-Jew or where he wasn't made a mistake. The Shulchan Aruch writes without any wavering, without any going to one side or the other, like the Rambam writes, that a Jew is not allowed to steal from a non-Jew, full stop. Doesn't make any difference whether he made a mistake or he didn't make a mistake, whether he's going to know or whether he's not going to know. It doesn't make any difference. You know, that Jew is not allowed to steal from a non-Jew. And the opinion of the Ramah is the opinion that's on the Shulchan Aruch and being more lenient. The halacha, in any case, with any God-fearing Jew, is that you have to be strict and follow the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch here. There's a question of theft, a question of whether a particular act is theft or not theft. The ruling is always going to be that you have to follow the stringent opinion to keep away from this tremendous Issa Chamor, this very, very serious Issa of stealing. Of course we're going to have to follow the stringent opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. So when paskening the halacha, the Pesach will always be here, like the Shulchan Aruch, like Maran the Shulchan Aruch, that to steal from a goy is prohibited just in exactly the same way as to steal from a Jew, full stop. But nevertheless, it's important what we've seen from the Ramor and what we've heard from the Be'er HaGola, that there is a lenient opinion. But even according to that lenient opinion, says the Be'er HaGola, from my experience, do a Kiddush Hashem. A chance to do a Kiddush Hashem is, oh, a tremendous opportunity has come to you. You've got a chance to do a Kiddush Hashem now. Do the Kiddush Hashem and you'll see there's a promise from Hashem. You do a Kiddush Hashem, you're going to get tremendous, tremendous reward. There's a famous story of a Jew who bought a house from a non-Jew. While decorating the house, he smashed down some of the walls and he found hidden in the wall, in a plaster wall, a sum of $30,000 in cash that the non-Jew had hidden there and forgotten about. This story happened 30, 40, maybe even 50 years ago. I can't remember exactly. When $30,000 was a tremendous, tremendous amount of money. Today it's also a pretty good amount of size. It's a pretty good sized sum. But in those days it was a really, really, really big sum of money. What's the obligation here? Does he have to give it back to the non-Jew that sold him the house? Who he knows it's his because that non-Jew built the house? Or can he take the money for himself? So they say that he went to ask the great Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Gadol HaDor in those days. He went to ask him, what am I obligated to do? Rav Moshe Feinstein explained to him, this is not exactly the same as a case of theft, but Moshe Feinstein explained to him that you don't have an obligation to return it to the non-Jew. But nevertheless, if you do return it, you're going to do a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And you'll have tremendous bracha from that. So says Rav Moshe, said Rav Moshe Feinstein, you decide what to do. So the guy decided that he's going to take the Kiddush Hashem. And he returned the money to the non-Jew. And he made a tremendous, tremendous Kiddush Hashem. In the eyes of the non-Jew, the non-Jew looked at him in amazement. Who is the God of these people that are so righteous, that are so straight, that are so honest, that have such integrity in all their business dealings, in all their dealings, in all the ways they act, such morality? Who is the God of these people? It must be a great, great God to be the God of such a great, great people. Oh, what a tremendous Kiddush Hashem he did. This guy that did that, within a few years, he was at the time he was just like an average run-of-the-mill guy. He started making millions and millions and millions. And until today, this guy is a multi-millionaire. One of the great, great supporters of times. And he puts it all down to the brocha that he got from Moshe Feinstein. That if he does the Kiddush Hashem, he'll get the tremendous brocha. He did the Kiddush Hashem. And he was zocher to a tremendous, tremendous brocha. So you see that's what Hashem wants from us. He wants us to be Mekadosh Shmoy Barabim, to sanctify his name publicly. How do we do that? By behaving properly, by behaving like a mensch, by doing business with our non-Jewish neighbors in a way that is them shocked, is going to make them think, wow. These are good people. That's all a goyim. That's to be a light to the generations. Ashrei am shekach aloi. Ashrei am shehashem elokav. Let's all be mekadosh Hashem in all our business dealings. It's the beginning of a new year. Right, we're still at the beginning of the year. Let's take this on for ourselves for this year. That we're going to do a Kiddush Hashem in all our business dealings. We're going to be an example of honesty and integrity to the nations. And maybe all of us, b'schut zeh, be zocher to much, much brocha, wealth, health, and true happiness. Amen.